I'm sure there was some other stuff I wanted to say, but I don't remember what it is. I just want you to know, like, hey, you are my favorite part of this church. And I sit up here, and a lot of times I've got a ton of distractions run through my head, and I'll pray, and I'll be, like, asking God just to meet me and to clear my heart so that I can come up here and share with you from a pure place. And it's amazing how, like, at just the right moment, all your voices just together singing. I think it's my favorite part. I love you. You're great. I love everything about you. But my favorite part about you in this room is when that happens. So thank you for that. We're jumping into a new message. Before we do that, we're winding down the series. Before we get into it, let me pray for us, and then we'll welcome Tremont to the feed. And is that okay with you? You guys need a little more coffee today? Don't be sleeping. We love you. Come as you are. You can sleep if you want to. I don't care. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to worship you together. We come into this room from all different places in life, carrying all different kinds of things. Maybe for some of us, things have been going really good, and we need you to not let us become complacent. Maybe some of us, things have been really heavy, and we need you and your church to pick us up, help carry some of the burden. You know what we need, and you have what we need, and I pray that we just all get out of the way this morning, that you would touch our hearts and help us to hear your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the hope we have through the empty tomb. Man, I look forward to celebrating it with all of these people and their friends this Easter. It's going to be amazing, but we don't have to wait for Resurrection Sunday to celebrate. We just are so thankful that we have a hope no one can steal because of what you have done for us. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome officially, Grace Orgsburg 930. Welcome to our Tremont friends. How you have not clapped for them in a really long time. How about we make a little noise for our location up at Tremont? I don't know if you can even hear that up there. That's the funny part about this. Like, I don't know. We used to have room mics. I don't know if we have room mics anymore. We just clapped hard for you. Well, 2/3 of us clapped hard from you. A couple of us golf clapped, but we love you guys in Tremont. Love Ryan and the team and everybody up there. You guys are amazing, and we're so glad that you're jumping on here. I got a new message for you. I think they're all new. Scott left. He was like, this guy's talking too long, and he's hitting those keypads for too long. His forearm's probably cramping. But we're coming near the end before we jump into our Easter series called The Turnaround. We're coming near the end of this series that we have been walking through called Resilient, How to Have a Faith That Can Get You Through Anything. This series, I think it's been so challenging and helpful to me, and we've been walking through the book of Daniel as we do it. We're going to end with Daniel chapter 6, and today we are going to start with the very last verse in Daniel chapter 5 and 30. And if you have your Bibles or your phones, you want to follow along, I'd encourage you to do that. We're going to let it rip this morning, so I hope you're ready, and if you have a pen, and you might have to write fast. Daniel 30, and the message title for today is Just Endure. Did I just say Daniel 30? That doesn't even make sense. Daniel chapter 5, verse 30 to 6, verse 3. I had coffee this morning, but I got half-calf. Big mistake. I speak in different places throughout the year. Sometimes you'll notice that I'm gone on certain Sundays, and a few of those Sundays I'm on vacation. Some of those Sundays I'm actually speaking at different events or conferences or camps, and I don't do this part anymore because it was downright exhausting, but back in the day I used to go and speak at a summer camp, a week-long summer camp for high school students, and I am way too old for that nonsense. I'm way too cranky. But I did love it back in the day, and it was a great time of, like, just talking about God with high schoolers who are at this like pivotal point in their life and going through a ton of stuff and dealing with all kinds of nonsense, and just to be able to spend time getting to know them and talking with them about life. And my favorite part, though, was Thursday, because Thursday I didn't have to do anything. We spent all day at an outdoor, pretty big water park. Any of you like into the water park scene? They got enough chlorine, they could kill small animals at those things. Like, but what I needed on a Thursday after a long week of working with teenagers, what I needed was like a break. I just needed a little bit of time and space away from all of these hundreds of kids. And so I figured out a plan. I would go to the wave pool, the deep end of the wave pool. Have you heard this strategy before? And I would go to the deep end of the wave pool, because at the deep end of the wave pool where nobody else could touch, I'm a pretty good swimmer, I can tread water for a really long time, I could go out there and people could come see me, but they couldn't stay long. Like, they didn't know what they were getting into. And so I would go into the deep end of the wave pool, and when the water was flat, I would tread water, and then as soon as the waves started coming, here's the pro tip. When the waves come, that's when you rest, because the waves lift you up and then touch you down on the bottom. So all you literally are doing in the deep end of the wave pool, don't try this if you can't swim. I don't want to be responsible for you meeting Jesus too soon. If you know him and have given your life to him. If not, you definitely got to hang around a little while. But the pro tip is you go out there and you just like bob up and down. The waves would lift you up. It's a sweet ride. It's a lot of fun. And then when you come down, your feet hit the bottom of the wave pool and you can bounce up. What people didn't realize is that the hardest part, from the outside looking in, the hardest part was not the part that looked the hardest. The hardest part was when the water was flat. Because when the water was flat, you had to tread water. You had to stay afloat until the waves kicked in and you could rest again. It was perspective that helped you endure the deep end of the wave pool. And the deep end of the wave pool is something you have to endure. You have to endure. Kids would come out. They'd come out to see me. And then they would talk for a couple minutes. And then they'd be struggling. And then they'd swim back. And they didn't understand how to endure the deep end of the wave pool. And I remember, like, at one point, I'm in the deep end, treading water, the water's flat, and everybody starts whistling. All the lifeguards around the edge, they're all whistling, like, people are going crazy. I look up, and there's, like, this dude jumping off a ladder into the deep end, and they all look like they're running right towards me. So I'm like, no, I'm okay, like, I'm fine. This guy's sprinting. You know, I didn't, you know, just sprinting down the sides. He dives right at me, and I'm like, no, I'm all right, I'm not drowning. But there was this guy like right behind me who was drowning. The kids thought that was hysterical too. Like, hey, camp speaker almost let a guy die this week. I'm sure that's all they told their families. If you don't know how to endure, you're going to drown. You're not going to make it. And I want to talk to you today about endurance. There's this passage in James that I think helps us learn what I like to call a perseverance loop. I don't know if I mentioned this passage to you yet, but James chapter 1, it's actually a pretty popular verse. Maybe you've heard it before. It says this. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or endurance. Now, this passage is not like what we used to tell people. A lot of you grew up in the skook. Like, our dads always used to say around here, what doesn't kill you makes you, did you say that up in Tremont? You participating up there? Are you all sleeping? Hey,
what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. My dad was a very spiritual man, and he told me that from time to time, usually when he probably thought I was milking some sort of injury or limping around trying to get attention. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's not true. Sometimes what doesn't kill you makes you weaker. Sometimes what doesn't kill you exhausts you. Sometimes what doesn't kill you in a moment starts a long, slow process of death. That's not a true statement. But here is a true statement. Tough stuff that comes into your life, difficult things that come into your life met with the right perspective and walked through with faith does make you stronger. Now, don't kill a part of that equation. Don't hear just the first part and go home and be like, oh, I'm going to be stronger now. Tough stuff met with the right perspective. And that's what James is trying to do in this. He's trying to match our difficulties and our trials with a perspective that is based in faith. Tough stuff met with the right perspective, walked through with faith, always makes you stronger. There's a bit of a loop here. Some truths that kind of can put you into a perseverance loop and an endurance loop. And here they are. There's like four steps I pulled out of like this thing. And here's the first truth to this endurance loop. Trials come and you endure because you have to. That's what the challenges in life require of you. And without thinking about it, starting small, whenever the tough stuff started to roll into your life, you didn't have a game plan probably. You weren't thinking, I'm going to go to church and learn about some perseverance loop, or I'm going to jump into a study in Daniel about resilient faith. You didn't think any of that when the tough stuff just came. You just did what you had to do, which is endure, persevere. At the start of things, that's where endurance starts, because you have to. If you don't add the rest of the loop, what's going to happen is you're going to run out of gas pretty quick, and eventually what started to force you to endure ends up depleting you. The second part is this: endurance produces more endurance. The third part is that when you choose joy, or a positive perspective you could put in place of this part here. When you choose joy or a positive perspective, it reframes the challenges you are walking through and it fuels more perseverance. And the result of that is that you have stronger perseverance, and the stronger your perseverance is, the more able you are to choose joy, to have a right perspective, to meet your challenges with the right perspective, and to walk through those with faith, which equals stronger perseverance, which equals more of your ability to choose the right perspective and to walk through your trials with faith, which equals more fuel for your perseverance. More fuel equals more ability. You get it? It's a loop that you can get caught up into, a good loop. But the ingredients for enduring, and some of you have been enduring and are exhausted, and you're thinking, I don't know how I can do it anymore. I don't know if I can go on one more day. The key that James has given us is what we see, what we've been looking at and not talking about for the first five chapters in Daniel. The key is to meet the tough stuff with the right perspective and walk through it with faith. And then your endurance grows stronger. It's what we've been seeing all along in Daniel. I mean, Daniel's got quite the list. You I don't know if you remember it or if you've seen it or you've heard it before, but we see this stuff in Daniel. He's been through so much and he's still standing. He's been through stuff like I can't imagine going through. You ever meet somebody, you're like, I don't know how they went through that. I've dealt with a significant amount of personal loss in my life, and I was driving over here today, and I'm kind of thinking about persevering and enduring and finishing well, and those are things that I want to be said of me, and I've been doing a lot of funerals lately, and that's kind of got me very introspective and deep and thinking about life and what story is my life going to tell at my funeral. I hope you're not there because I hope I outlive all of you. No, just kidding. That's a joke. Come on, clearly. I'm totally. Thank you. But I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I'm driving here, and I'm like, I don't know how my dad endured losing a son. I don't think I could do that. You know, like, you ever look at somebody, and you're like, how do they, like, I look at Daniel, and I'm like, how in the world? The list that he has endured is absolutely incredible. He was exiled from his homeland, suffered losing everything but a few friends who were stolen away into slavery to begin with. He was put into this situation with great pressure in the king's court, temptation around every corner. All the promises of everything some 13 to 17-year-old young man would want, it was all right there at his fingertips, like the king of Babylon just tempting him, like, come on, man, like, taste this. This stuff is good. Compromise your faith of your past. He had the pressure to let go of his faith and his religion and who he not knew God to be. And after all, that would have been such an easy thing after the amount of heartbreak that this guy had been through. He endured the messing of his identity. They changed his name. It was a masterclass of manipulation and gaslighting, and he endured it. He endured the threats of having to interpret a dream and get it right. He endured life or death pressure when the people who were sent to execute him showed up in front of him, and he had to convince them that he could interpret the dream set before them. He spoke truth to power, warned kings of their demise, told Nebuchadnezzar that he would lose his mind and wander the desert for 7 years. This guy was through it all. So much. A huge list of stuff. And yet Daniel is resilient, tested, and tried. What's on your list? If you took a history of your life and reviewed all the things that you have endured, what's on your list? I bet that you've been in the loop. And if you just don't give up, if you would choose the right perspective, man, your endurance would grow. What's on your list? Because here's what your list tells me that you might not see. You are stronger than you think. Full stop. Period, as the kids would say. Is that what the kids say? I don't know. You might not feel strong. You might feel worn down. Life may have been a struggle. But you are stronger than how you feel right now. You've endured some stuff. And maybe not always perfectly, but you've been walking through some stuff with faith. And you always you might not have the right perspective all the time, but I talk to enough of you to know that sometimes you have the right perspective. Every once in a while, maybe intentionally, sometimes accidentally, you end up with the right perspective on the challenges that you're facing, and that produces in you more endurance. And the fact that you are sitting here right now, it's hot in here. It means that you have endured and you, whether you think you got it or not, are stronger than you think. And that, friends, man, that is a good gift of God's grace to you because he loves you. There's, when I think about this endurance, I think of Paul's letter to Timothy. I don't know if you know this, but in the back of your Bibles at the end of your phone apps, there's this passage about, it's two letters, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And Paul is writing to his protege about ministry, about how to do things in the church, all kinds of different things. Timothy's much younger. Paul's coming near the end of his life. And he's teaching him all kinds of stuff. And listen to this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "But you," this is the end of two very personal letters. He's wrapping it up here, and he goes, "But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." And then he goes on and he summarizes like where he's at, like because of trying to live these things out in his life. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge will award me on that day, and not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearance." I love the perspective at the end. Here Paul is nearing the end of his life, and to his friend, his mentee, the person he has so invested so much in the faith and in ministry and in relationship, he wraps up these letters with just a couple really clear points after talking about people falling away that would help him endure whatever challenges come next. So you ready for these? Here they are. Keep your head in everything. If you're like me, there are times where you lose your head. It just, right, like, it just happens. Like, sometimes somebody cuts you off in traffic, you lose your head, right? And then you're like, "Man, I really wish I didn't have that grace sticker on the back of my Chevy Tahoe." Don't go look at the back of my Chevy Tahoe. I'm talking about you, not me, right? Like, it's, there's times where, like, our flesh gets the best of us. Our weakness is pronounced. Our insecurities flare up, and we lose our heads. And Paul's reminder to Timothy is, like, whatever happens, whatever challenges that you have, like, keep your head about you. Don't just go living based on your feelings. Think about where you are and think about what God's doing in the middle of whatever challenge you're facing. Don't go losing your head. Don't go flying off the handle. Don't go racing forward. Don't go falling back somewhere deep and dark. Just perspective comes from your head. Keep your head, whatever the situations. See the challenges clearly, but see God clearly too. You can feel the frustration, but know the hope. You can feel the pain, but remember the promise. Keep your head in every situation. The second thing he says, which is just so clear, is endure hardship. Just, there isn't much you can do sometimes. There's no quick fix. There's no Band-Aid to rip off. I can't tell you how many times I sit in my office, I'm talking to somebody, going through some really deep stuff, and I sit there being like, "God, I just wish there was like some kind of like, it's a verse or like something I could say or something smart that just would fix it for them." It's just not the reality. You got to walk through the challenges with faith. And sometimes all you can do is endure. You got to put one foot in front of the other. You got to walk one step at a time. You got to go one day at a time. Sometimes you got to go one moment at a time, and it's not sexy and it's not fun. But endure hardship. Keep your perspective. Keep your head in every situation. Endure hardship. Do the work. For Timothy, it was the work of an evangelist. I don't know what God's called you to do, what the work is he called you to do. So I'm just going to say it like this. As the worship team comes out, I'm going to wrap this up. You got a long way to go, bro. You're the drummer and you're sitting in the front row. Number three, do the work. Here's how I can like summarize this for you. Because I don't know what how God has gifted you, what he's called you to do. For Timothy, it was do the work of an evangelist. That was his calling, his ministry, his mission. So I'll just say it like this. Ready for number three? Be faithful where you're at. Just be faithful. I don't know where you, what he's called you, what you're going through, what your giftedness is, how he's designed you to make an impact in your world. But if you could do this, number three, be faithful where you're at. And number four, discharge your duties, which means live out your God-given calling. Live out your, be faithful where you're at. Live out your God-given calling. Man, you will endure. Paul ends this with like where he's at. Like this is the roadmap he gives Timothy to end up where he's at. He's saying like, hey man, I fought the good fight. He took some bruises. Wasn't always clean or easy. He didn't just fight any fight. He lived his life for a greater purpose, to glorify God and to spread the good news of who Jesus was. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. And all that was left for Paul was all that he had hoped would be left for Timothy, which is the reward. Oh, there is a reward for you. Paul's reward, he was closing in on heaven, and man, he was so close. He could taste it. And he knew that a crown of righteousness awaited him because of his faith in Jesus, because of what Jesus had done for him on the cross. And there is reward for enduring. So I could just kind of just encourage you this last minute. Just keep the right perspective. Try. I mean, we got each other to help us with that. It's not easy. Come back to remembering the promises God has for you. Refocus on his character. He is unshakable even when everything else shakes. He will not change. He is good all the time. And he loves you with an unconditional love. Keep your head. Endure. Just one step at a time, one moment at a time, one foot in front of the other. Because as you endure, it produces more endurance. You're getting stronger without even knowing about it. Live faithfully where you are. And whatever God has called you to do, however he has designed you, man, push into that. You won't just experience the reward in heaven. You'll experience it right here. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are and what you do in our hearts and our lives. And it's not easy when all we have to do is endure, when it's not fun, it's not exciting, but we know that in those moments you are doing something in us that we don't always see. You're making us stronger. You're helping us finish well. So I pray, God, that you'd be with anybody in this room that's hurting. Help shift our perspectives back to you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name.